Morning. Back in January the 16th, 1986, Mr. Herbert Armstrong died, and perhaps you remember. I remember it was kind of like what they call a moment in time. I can remember to this day exactly where I was, exactly who told me, and what I thought and felt at that moment. I'd like to read several comments from the Worldwide News, a publication of the Worldwide Church of God. This was a February publication of the Worldwide News, and they had various comments in there, messages from various dignitaries from around the world, and also some of the newspapers, statements that they made, articles they wrote in regards to Mr. Armstrong. I'd like to read first a message of condolence. To the congregation, Worldwide Church of God, Nancy and I join all those mourning the loss of Herbert W. Armstrong as founder and leader of the Worldwide Church of God. Mr. Armstrong contributed to sharing the word of the Lord with his community and with people throughout the nation. You can take pride in his legacy. Our prayers are with you. God bless you. Ronald and Nancy Reagan, President of the United States. Pasadena, California has a newspaper there. It's called the Star News. They published an article on January the 17th, and I quote some of it. The article began, Herbert W. Armstrong, who coupled a genius for mass communications with a commanding, almost irresistible voice to become one of the titans of radio evangelism, died January 16th. His world travels, including frequent meetings with heads of state with which he spread his gospel, combined to make Mr. Armstrong one of the nation's best-known evangelists. The Star News summed up that article by stating the following, and I quote, "It is a fact of life that those who choose or who believe they are divinely chosen to spread the message of monotheism in the world are bound to endure more than their shares of ups and downs, troubles and trials. Many of these men and women, however, leave a legacy that makes all their suffering worthwhile. Herbert W. Armstrong was such a man. What was or what is the legacy that Mr. Armstrong left for us?" The meaning of legacy can also mean, of course, something passed down from the past. It can have a reference to a character trait that was passed on. The legacy that Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong, and I'll include his wife here because they were a team, Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong left a legacy that they passed on down to us, which is a far greater value than any physical inheritance that we can ever have. I think all of us deeply understand that. The spiritual legacy, spiritual knowledge is far greater. But their example gives us a legacy of commitment, loyalty, integrity, and tenacity for the truth of God. Those are the things that I noticed when I first came in contact with God's church. I noticed a commitment. And as I went through the years, I saw the absolute loyalty of Mr. Armstrong and the integrity that he stood for and the tenacity that he would absolutely, no matter what, he would stand for the truth that God had revealed to him. What a beautiful example. The Apostle John, he was also about that same age as Mr. Armstrong at his death. The Apostle Paul, it is thought perhaps, was one of the disciples, probably at about 30 years old, perhaps the same age as Jesus Christ. He was the last apostle. He was an apostle for about 60 years. And he saw many things, and he understood many things, and he had a great deal of wisdom. And he wrote, seeing that many have fallen away, and very similar to what Mr. Armstrong saw in his 60 years of service to God, he too saw and experienced many difficulties and trials and troubles, but knew that always God would deliver him from all of them, and God did. And there were many, many bountiful blessings. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, John the 18th chapter. The Apostle John wrote 5 letters in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. He had a lot of knowledge and information that God relayed through him. John 18, verse 37. Here Pilate was questioning Jesus Christ, and he'd asked Jesus, "Art thou the king?" And then Pilate again asked him, a few verses earlier, he asked him the same question he's going to ask him here again in verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Mr. and Mrs. Herbert Armstrong were called of God, and they heard, and as he studied and became more and more familiar with the scriptures, he responded to that truth. They became totally committed to the truth of God. Verse 38, then Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" That was perhaps one of the most profound questions that people ask, but generally go on. They perhaps stumble across the truth, but perhaps really don't want to know. And of course, we know that many of their minds are closed now. But to those that do know and understand, God makes it very clear what is truth. Let's just turn back a page to John, the 17th chapter. Here Jesus Christ in his prayer to God the Father makes it very clear what is truth. John 17, let's begin at verse 14. "I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And Mr. Armstrong experienced that, as the apostles did. You know, they were hated, and we find that also, that when we teach God's truth, there are those that do not want to accept it and become angry about it. Verse 15, "I pray not that you shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one, from Satan." And God does. God does keep us safe. He delivers us many, many times. Many times perhaps we're not even aware of it. But if we stay close to him, he will certainly deliver us. Verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 17, "Sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth, for thy word is truth." And how true it is. And when we begin to keep the Sabbath day, that sets us apart. When we keep the holy days, that sets us apart. The Bible, the truth of God, when we practice it, it sets us apart. And we are God's church, and we're in his divine protection. What a wonderful blessing that is. Jesus Christ, the Apostle John recorded earlier in his gospel that Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth." In the book of Psalms, we have recorded that Jesus Christ inspired the words there, saying in Psalm 40 that, "I come in the volume of the book that is written of me." And indeed he does. Mr. Armstrong often talked about how Jesus Christ is the Bible imprint, and that it was the scriptures, the Bible, where Mr. Armstrong was taught. He wasn't taught as the ministers of this world are taught. He was taught by Jesus Christ himself, as were the apostles. Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong left for us an example of genuine, deep repentance, of obedience, and an unwavering zeal to do the work of God. I remember when I first came into God's church, so often it was mentioned, you know, the work of God. When did you hear about the work of God? Or when did you hear the truth? And, of course, all of us have to learn and we grow in standing firm, no matter what the troubles, no matter what the trials, as their example was. So we learn from their example what they have passed on to us. Let's turn back to 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, again, the Apostle Peter was near his death where he would be killed, and he was speaking to the brethren. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 1 and 2. "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. How important it is, brethren, to remember, and we look back. As we know, next week, Tuesday the 16th, is the day when Mr. Herbert Armstrong died, and it's good to look back and to remember, and as verse 2 here states, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Yes, it's good to look back, to be reminded of what the apostles stood for, and how they taught. Because they are the true apostles, they taught exactly what Jesus Christ taught. Jesus Christ was given by the Father to reveal. And so you and I have that same knowledge, that same truth today. What a wonderful blessing that is. What a wonderful gift it is to have that legacy given to us, the very truth of God. We know that Scripture, Jesus Christ said, you shall know them by their fruits. And you look back, and you look at the Plain Truth magazines, the Ambassador College, those beautiful campuses. Yes, they're gone now, but they were there for approximately 40 years. They stood there as an example of what will come, of what the whole world will be filled with Ambassador Colleges one day. And what a blessing that will be when education is restored to what it ought to be. The Bible correspondence courses, 56 lessons, the tremendous knowledge and the information that came through those courses, the Good News magazine, the booklets, the many, many booklets that were written by Mr. Armstrong and those that assisted him, the books that Mr. Armstrong wrote, the autobiographies, the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, and of course his final book, 1985, he completed it and he handed it out to the students at the Ambassador College, and members all received one copy. And what a tremendous book it was. A synopsis of the Bible, an overview of the Bible, giving a depth of understanding that is so wonderful and so profitable for us to again and again read it. Of course, there was the Ambassador Foundation established to serve and to help people, to be able to meet and to be with. Mr. Armstrong was able, through the foundation, to go and meet many of the world leaders and to tell about the way world peace will come. What a tremendous blessing, what tremendous fruits. I'd like to quote the short article that was written in the Worldwide News, February the 10th, 1986. It's titled, Mr. Armstrong's Clarity of Vision. The late Pastor General Herbert W. Armstrong's greatest attribute, apart from his desire to do God's work, was his clarity of vision. He had the rare ability to think far in the future and to envision not only what God was leading him to do, but its ultimate outcome. Mr. Armstrong was a visionary. If God was to be served, only the best was acceptable, and certainly the legacy that Mr. Armstrong left us is that quality is a necessary ingredient in everything built to God's glory and honor. What a wonderful blessing it is to know of the work that Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong did and accomplished, and we have it, we still have it today, and we can cling and cleave to it with all of our being. I'd like to read a brief comment here from the Good News magazine of March 1983. Shows here a picture of the Ambassador Auditorium, the outside, and also the beautiful chandeliers on the inside. It's just a magnificent building. Let me just briefly read a few comments here. It's titled, Quest for the Best. Quality is never an accident. It's always the result of intelligent effort, the will to produce a superior thing. So said a Scottish writer a century ago. It is true, given enough time and talent, man can deal with physical matter and produce a superior work. Architectural masterpieces, great art, technology marvels. But did you ever stop to think that God is inherently that way? He made everything beautiful in its time. God is always in pursuit of excellence. always producing fantastic positive achievements. And he does not have to be taught. Quality is a natural product of his mind and of his work. Look at God's creation. What part of it is not in fine taste, perfectly suited for its purpose? Consider the wingspan of a soaring eagle, a spider's web, a beautiful forest, the superb but complex human hand. Then God saw that everything was good that he had made, and indeed it was very good, says Genesis 1:31, describing the earth's renewal. Everything was excellent. God wins all design awards. He is the creator and the builder, and he always builds to the highest standards. Brethren, we too have the opportunity, and we must continue to do God's work, preaching the gospel and growing in knowledge of his way of life. So let's keep firmly in mind the example, the legacy of Mr. and Mrs. Herbert Armstrong that they left for us to follow. Let's continue to strive for quality in prayer, in Bible study, and drawing closer to God and closer to one another. And as Mr. Bryce has so often reminded us, that God's true church has faith and truth. A wonderful blessing that is. So let's thank God for calling us and for the legacy of Mr. and Mrs. Herbert Armstrong, and that we will also continue to grow in the commitment, loyalty, integrity, and have the tenacity to hold fast to the truth of God, knowing that it all will be worthwhile.